Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the South Bay Show, South Bay Spotlight, on May 4th, 2017. Live, love, laugh, and leave a legacy. That's what we do here in the South Bay of Los Angeles, and it's a beautiful place to do just that.
The South Bay Show is brought to you by the Academy of Foreign Languages. If you have any interest in learning a new language or brushing up on existing language skills, you should know about the Academy of Foreign Languages. Located in Palos Verdes, the Academy of Foreign Languages specializes in the art of communication. Their mission is to provide the finest language instruction possible. They recognize that each student has distinctive needs and craft their teaching technique to optimize an individual's particular learning skills. At the Academy of Foreign Languages, they strive to create a comfortable environment conducive to learning. So whether you're learning a new language or would simply like to converse in your native tongue, the Academy of Foreign Languages can accommodate you. For additional information, visit their website at academyofforeignlanguages.com, that's all spelled out, or call 310-975-4133.
I'm your host, Joe Terry, and you can read all about our many adventures on Facebook at facebook.com/The South Bay Show. Persistence, passion, principle, and purpose. That's what we talk about here on the South Bay Show. And, of course, I'm not alone because of our great partnership with SouthBayByJackie.com and producer of the South Bay Show, Jackie Balestra. Hey, Jackie, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great this morning, Joe, and I'm really kind of excited about our topic this morning. It should be one of our favorites, but we don't get to talk about it often, do we?
No, I guess. I mean, you know, we've explored the idea of open space, of green space, but we haven't really explored the concept of green space as it relates to our friends, our
pets. So I'm
and
excited. We're gonna get right to it.
We're going to get right to it. Jackie, who are our guests today?
Our guests this morning are Maureen Ferguson Lewis, Dr. Jamie Sun Siegel, and Officer Carlos Burgos. They're all representatives from the upcoming Pets in the Park event. Now, Maureen Ferguson Lewis has lived in the South Bay since 1999 and has worked for Neiman Marcus, Virgin Entertainment, and is currently employed by Belkin International as Director of Global E-Commerce. Maureen is extremely active in the community and passionate about giving back through work with nonprofits. She was a member of the first class of Leadership Promosa in 2003 and elected director the following year. Maureen was tapped by then-Mayor Art Yoon to co-chair the Hermosa Beach Centennial and worked hard to create a fantastic year filled with community-friendly events, including the handprint wall on the corner of Ardmore and Pier Avenue, fireworks, a 5K race, and the Centennial Cocktail. Maureen was a Parks and Rec Commissioner in Redondo, and when she moved back to Hermosa Beach, was appointed Parks and Rec Commissioner in 2015. Maureen is on the board for the Hermosa Murals Project and a liaison to Hermosa Beach Friends of the Park. She was named chair for the Pets of the Park event in April 2016 and was asked to return in 2017 to produce another great community event. Now, in her spare time, Maureen loves to run half marathons, throw dinner parties, redesign nonprofit websites. She enjoys going to concerts and travels the California coast with her husband and rescue golden retriever. Now, Dr. Jamie Sun Siegel has dedicated her life to the care and rescue of animals in need. Her lifelong love of animals and strong belief in the power of medicine is evident in the kindness and compassion she demonstrates with each and every one of her pet clients. Prior to her training to becoming a veterinary doctor, Dr. Jamie also received training as a veterinary nurse and anesthetist. We'll figure out how to say that. It has to do with anesthesia. And she has been a member of the veterinary community of Southern California for more than two decades. She moved to Hermosa Beach in 2008, where she currently resides. She's a well-respected surgeon and a vital member of the community, helping to raise awareness regarding veterinary health and wellness. Now, after 10 years of working in corporate veterinary medicine, including being medical director at a local corporate hospital, Dr. Jamie decided to leave that type of practice to create her dream vision of a warm, personalized, and stress-free veterinary experience. Her dream has now become a reality, and the comfort and care offered by Concierge Mobile Animal Hospital is truly in a league of its own. Now, Officer Carlos Burgos is the Community Services Field Supervisor for the Hermosa Beach Police Department in the Community Services Division. He has served there since 2012 as a division supervisor since 2016. Carlos is one of two field supervisors, and in addition to parking enforcement, has responsibilities for animal services. Prior to joining the department, Carlos served as an emergency medical technician in Torrance and Santa Monica. Now, Joe, this morning, we're going to learn all about this upcoming Pets in the Park event. It's hosted by the Hermosa Beach Friends of the Park, and it's scheduled for Saturday, May 6th, starting at 9:30 a.m. at Valley Park. Maureen, Dr. Jamie, Carlos, welcome to the program. We're so glad you could join us this morning.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And it is such a wonderful event, and, you know, celebrating pets in the park. It doesn't get much better, Maureen. Tell me about how the first event came to be. I mean, what was the impetus for a Pets in the Park sponsored by Friends of the Parks?
So Friends of the Parks has been around. It's a nonprofit organization. It's been around since the early 2000s. It was a group of local Hermosa residents who were a little alarmed when the budget for the parks were being cut. So they partnered with the city to raise funds and supplement park needs and park recreation program needs to the city. And then they had a parade that went from City Hall down the Greenbelt to Valley Park. And I think that parade was went for maybe 10 years, and then it sort of just disappeared. And so many residents had been asking, you know, where's the parade? Where's the parade? We really love the parade. It was one of those things that makes Hermosa so special. And so last year, the Friends of the Park said, you know, we really should bring back the parade. And then I said, well, if we're going to do the parade, then what else can we do? And how can we use this as a fundraising opportunity and also an educational opportunity? So being a pet parent, I thought, if I participated in this, what would I like to see in this event? So what are the things that would be meaningful to me? So I reached out to some local pet stores and to the city to ask them if they wanted to participate. And then also, you know, I felt like the education part was really an important component, because as a Parks and Rec commissioner for Hermosa Beach, I was also on the very glamorous pet waste committee, and I realized that a lot
very
of people.
Glamorous.
Yes, it was very glamorous, and I realized that, you know, there are a lot of people that come into Hermosa, live here a few years, and leave, and aren't aware of the laws that are in the books, and also, you know, don't license their pet. And so we felt that the education component of this event was also very important. So we partnered with the city to make sure that there was someone on site to license. And part of that was an education for me as well, because, you know, I just send in my notice. I know that my dog needs to get, you know, her rabies shots, et cetera. But it was really interesting just how the city, you know, calendarizes this. And I thought, well, you know, that doesn't help a lot of people. There were gaps, or there were over vaccination because of the way the licensing fell. And so we worked with the city, and then we asked Dr. Jamie to join us last year to give discount vaccinations to anybody who needed to get a vaccination in order to get a license. And so last year's event was so successful, we didn't know what to expect. We had over 200 animals and their parents come through, and the community was thrilled about the event, as well as were all the sponsors and the vendors that came, and they said, please, if you have this again, this was just perfect. It gave us a chance to have one-on-one conversations with, you know, the community and talk about what we do, whether it was, you know, providing food or pet training or pet care, you know, overnight care.
Right.
So it was really great.
Right.
So this year, you know, I'm very happy to say that we've, you know, we're trying to keep it small and community-wise, but we also were able to expand our reach just because of the success that we had last year.
I love the concept. I mean, that's the beauty of it. You can build a team and an organization and a sort of a following around this concept of pet friendly spaces and of course pet ownership and responsible pet parenting and all of these things. I want to ask you, Dr. We'll call you Dr. Jamie Sun-Siegel.
Yes, absolutely.
when you have a client come to you, or you go to a client and you talk to them about issues that they have with pets, how often is the issue pet parenting?
Can you extrapolate a little bit more? You mean as far as training and good?
Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, I would say that probably you could estimate that between 40% and 50% of all of the kind of problems that we deal with come right back down to pet parenting. And, you know, when I say problems, I mean that very loosely. It could be something like a behavioral issue, dogs barking and bothering neighbors, dogs that are aggressive on leash, or certainly some dogs are so aggressive or have behavioral issues from maybe their history that we didn't have anything to do with as pet parents, that it's our job to step in and help them out. It goes even deeper than that as far as parenting. You know, the word pet parent is very appropriate because we truly are parents to these animals. That means that we have to provide proper nutrition, keep away things that are bad for them, and provide them with the medical care that's necessary. And so oftentimes, it's a matter of shifting a diet if you have a medical issue, and that's our job. And I say our because I'm a pet parent as well, so I take responsibility very much to make sure that my community is healthy by keeping my pets vaccinated and current on their parasite control. Behaviorally, if I do have a dog that has special needs, it's my job as a pet parent to communicate that to my community. And oftentimes people are also chastised for doing that. I see dogs that wear muzzles out in public, and that dog, it may not be its fault that it's wearing that muzzle, and it might be the responsible thing that pet parent has that dog with a muzzle. And you'll often hear people say, well, that dog shouldn't be in public. On the same token, maybe that dog deserves a walk and deserves to get out, but the owner is doing the responsible parenting thing by protecting it and another dog. Maybe that dog eats rocks and has a muzzle on, not because it bites, but because it might have had two surgeries for eating things it shouldn't. So I think it's important that we not only parent our pets correctly, but that as a community we have open conversations with each other.
Now, Dr. Jamie, no conversation with you would be complete without asking about the concept of the concierge mobile animal hospital.com. Concierge mobile animal hospital.com. If you just go to that website, you see this image of happy pets getting treats and the beach and this big mobile hospital, full-service veterinary hospital at your doorstep. Tell us a little bit about how that came to be, because it's fascinating.
Absolutely.
And it's wonderful.
Absolutely. I mean, I could talk about that for an hour. I won't, for all of your sakes, but, you know, if anyone ever does want to reach out to me, please feel free, because it is my passion. I was actually trained in critical care medicine. Then I went into more of a family practice, realizing that the critical care was extremely stressful and hard on pets. I'm so grateful for the people, the veterinarians, the nurses that do that. But as I was an anesthetist in emergency surgeries, You know, I was an emergency critical care doctor for several years. And when I went to family practice, I absolutely loved the relationship that I built with my community and with my pet parents. I truly got to know some of these animals. In Finley's case, Maureen's dog, I've known her for many, many, many years. I think of her as Finley is a friend to me more than a patient. And so what I realized when I was working in family practice was that the community was missing a link. And that link was somewhere between home and an office. There's so much stress that happens. Now, there is a very important place that hospitals take. We all know that. You know, most people have been in a hospital at some point. But do we want to go there? No. Would we rather go to our, you know, our family practitioner or have somebody help us over the phone? Absolutely. And that's where I come in. So Concierge Mobile Animal Hospital was designed to kind of fill that gap. We do at-home care. We can do almost anything that a regular hospital can do. And we alleviate the stress and the inconvenience of a typical traditional veterinary visit.
I
love it. And what I love even more is the congruency. If you visit conciergemobileanimalhospital.com, you will instantly know if you need their services, and you will instantly know how they deliver their services, and that's also wonderfully congruent. I'm in sort of entrepreneurial stupor about that. It's exciting.
Thank you. Thank you, compliment.
We'll talk more about that, but Officer Burgos, when you talk about pets in the city, and you talk about all the issues surrounding, well, we've been talking about pet parents and how it's rarely the pets that are at fault. It's usually untrained pet parents. Can you tell us a little bit about how community services views the whole issue of pets and pet parenting and proper care of pets?
Yes, it's as far as pet parents goes, you know, it's kind of a hard topic to have, you know, to talk about, because some pet parents want to just, you know, they want to believe that they're not doing anything wrong. So as far as the community services go, it's important to actually educate these pet parents on these certain laws we have within this city so they can keep their dogs under control, and we can recommend classes, trainings that they need to try to help them become better pet parents, right? So we want to just educate, right? We don't want to go out and hammer down on people for not having their dogs on a leash because they may not be aware of that law within this city. So when we do, you know, these community events like Pets in the Park, it's important for us to be out there and to engage the community and educate.
What are, Officer Burgos, Carlos Burgos, what are some of the top, sort of the top three issues that the city deals with regarding pets?
The top three, I would probably say the biggest one, number one, would be barking dogs. We get a lot of those calls, and our officers have to go out and observe the dogs barking or not. So that's usually our main one. Second would be dogs off leash. Again, it may go back to the pet parents that may not know the laws that their dog has to be on a leash. Some people will put the leash on but not have control of the leash. But according to our law, dog has to be on a leash, and you have as a pet parent, have to be in full control of that leash.
Are you saying that they have the dog on a leash, but the dog is just running free because they don't even hold the leash?
Yes, we've seen that plenty of times.
Okay, that's funny.
But officer, my dog is on a leash. Yeah, but you're supposed to be holding the leash.
Yes, exactly.
And have control of the leash, which, you know, I see this daily. People have those leashes that expand and contract, retractable ones. And, you know, they're walking along looking at their phone, and the dog is, like, you know, 15 miles ahead of them on that string, wrapping around people's legs. I see that all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it goes back to education. In our municipal code, it specifically says that the leash cannot be longer than 6 feet, right? So if they have that retractable leash, now we advise them, educate them. Hey, the law, you can't have it longer than 6 feet. So pull that retractable leash back.
There's a lot of criminals out there then, because I'm seeing a lot a lot longer than 6 feet. Yeah. No, it's a very good point, Joe. These are all incredible points. Dr. Jamie was being generous in saying 40-50% of the problems are the pet parents. I think it's all the pet parent. I think every issue a pet has, it's all the parent. It's all the parent's doing. Yeah. Or undoing. Yeah.
Yeah.
I concur. Officer Burgos, that's interesting. Now, did you have a third one, of course? Top three issues?
I would say picking up after their pets. We get a lot of those complaints of people not picking up after their pets. And again, that's another one that's hard. That just goes back to, again, education and advising these pet parents, of the laws that we do have in the city, making sure that they understand and they know that they have to actually have a bag or something to pick up the feces, right, visible, so when, they can and throw it away of it, dispose of it properly.
Yeah. I have to ask this,
no.
Joe.
Yeah.
I have to ask. So does anybody remember back in the day? I'm not sure how old anybody is here, but I remember back in the day before there were – in New York it was called curb your dog, meaning when your dog was doing his thing, let him do it off the curb into the street.
Mm-hmm.
And, mean, literally, a part of daily life was stepping in dog poop. It was a part of life. It happened all the time, and it's just and we've come such a long way with that. I mean, I can't remember the last time I stepped in dog poop.
Yeah,
I did.
Well,
a week ago, actually.
Yeah, don't go to the park.
Okay. There you go. A week ago. Now, also, Officer Burgos, your first point was orphan pets. You mean pets who have a home, but they're at home. In the yard, mom and dad are off to work, and the dog just barks all day.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what they're talking about with an orphan?
No, not orphan. It could be any dog. What happens is, sometimes, especially with new dogs, they have to get accustomed to the new area, to the new location they're in. And sometimes they'll just bark constantly, right? There's sometimes that separation anxiety that the dogs go through.
Sure.
So the dogs will bark, and, it starts disturbing the neighborhood. And the neighbors might call and say, hey, this dog's been barking. So when that happens, we try to, send an officer out to the location and observe if the dog is barking or not. If the dog's barking for at least 5 minutes consistently, then at that point our officers will try to make contact with that pet parent, right, by knocking on the door and trying. If someone is home, that's great. Now we educate them. Did you know your dog was barking? And just talk to them on a personal level, and just so they can know. Because sometimes the pet parents aren't even aware that their dog is barking.
Yeah. Now,
if they're not home,
I love it
then
that you're. Yeah. No, go on.
If they're not home, then it's a different approach. Now we leave a note on their door saying, "Hey, your dog was barking. Disturbing the neighborhood. Can you please give us a call back?" And when they do, again, now it's over the phone. Now we try to just educate them, and let them know that their dog is barking and certain things that they can do to try to minimize that barking.
Now
can I interject an amazing story about the Hermosa Beach police in that exact situation for myself?
Please.
I, several years ago, it's probably 5-6 years ago now, I had two dogs, in my home, and they were there while I went to work and my husband went to work, and our neighbor called the police because they were barking. And the police came. We were not there. But one of the officers, I actually cared for the Hermosa Beach drug-sniffing dog, so one of the officers actually realized that it was my house and that they had never had a call before. My dogs were licensed. I had two licensed dogs, so they knew what was going on. They actually called me at work and told me that there was a problem. I went home, and one of my dogs had ingested an entire pack of sugar-free gum, which is toxic, and the other dog was barking out of fear because one dog was sick. I was able to get my dog to the hospital and get it treated, and it's completely fine. She's still with me. Everything's great. But I would not have had that opportunity, and it's possible that could have been a fatal situation if the Hermosa Beach Police Department hadn't interjected in the way that they did because of the laws that were in place. So I'm very grateful. And when I hear anybody ever complain, well, my dog's a dog and it was barking, I tell them that story and I say, hey, listen, these laws are in place for reasons. And some of the reasons we don't even realize. Yes, we can all be irritated by a barking dog or poop on the floor. But when it comes right down to it, poop on the ground is a medical issue for our community. It spreads disease. Mm-hmm. It spreads parasites. So the laws that Hermosa Beach has in place are so important. And in my case, I honestly believe they were life-saving for my pet.
Wow. That's amazing, Dr. Jamie. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, talk about intuitive. He realized that, hey, wait a minute. This is the vet's house. These are her dogs, and you know he knew you, and that's amazing. That he called. He didn't call and say your dogs are barking and annoying and neighbors. There's something wrong.
Yep, there's something wrong.
That's amazing.
And what I love about that story, Dr. Jamie, is that all of the actors in the story, the officers, the neighbor, acted in such a way to protect the health of your pet. And that,
yes,
it wasn't
very much
like a neighbor, you know, the neighbor that calls every day saying their dogs are barking or whatever. No, they're calling specifically because it's unusual. This is unusual. Mm-hmm. These dogs never bark like that. There's something going on. That's a wonderful thing. That's a wonderful thing. Now, Maureen, I love this concept. Excuse me. I love this concept that local businesses can find an audience for their particular services or products, and that this is building. I'm sure it's always the case that if the sponsors and the vendors are happy about an event, it's got legs. It's got a future. Can you tell me what the number of vendors were the first year versus the second? And are there other vendors that are now trying to get in?
So we had probably three local pet stores and just a handful of trainers and dog sitters. And then we even had one last year who didn't come back this year, but she actually was a vendor of like organic treats, which for crickets, which was very interesting, but maybe a little bit too advanced. And this year we've doubled the amount of stores. So we have, Kreiser's, we have Sentinella, we've got Just Food for Dogs, and and then we also and Bow Wow Boutique, which has been a local shampoo and grooming place for Hermosans for at least 20 years. And then we have a few animal sitters, and then we have Dr. Jamie, and we have another vet who is in Torrance, the Animal Hospital of South Bay. So everybody comes to the table with their expertise. You know, there's plenty of pets in the South Bay, and, you know, this just gives our community the option to really find the right, you know, pet trainer for them, or find the right, you know, house sitter, or maybe they want the dog to go to doggy daycare. So, you know, this just gives everybody an opportunity to have a dialogue and find out what's best for their family. And we're, you know, adding a few more things this year just based on the feedback from last year. I think one of the biggest sentiments I heard was, excuse me, there's a next-door neighbor's dog is barking in the background. So last year, one of the biggest sentiments was, you know, had a lot of people say, oh, my gosh, we had so much fun, but we would have stayed longer if there was food. So this year, we got special permission from the city of Hermosa to have a food truck at Valley Park. And we also will have a local, our ice cream shop, serve ice cream for humans. And then she also is bringing some pup cups, which my dog taste tested last week just to make sure that they were good. It'll be frozen bananas, and then there'll be another pup cup, which is just frozen pumpkin. So, you know, treats for everybody in the family.
That's fantastic. I love that. And, you know, I got my answer. Double
mm-hmm.
the number of participants.
Yes.
I guess it is growing.
Yes.
Joe,
and, you know,
I
forgot to mention we also will have four pet adoption groups as well. So if you don't have a pet but you're thinking about adding one to the family, we have a cat adoption, we'll have two dog adoptions, and we're also bringing in some mini horses. So might be a little tough in Hermosa. Yeah. It might be a little tough in Hermosa to put one in your backyard, but you can foster a mini horse until they find a home. So we know that lots of little girls and boys are going to really be excited about seeing a mini horse up close.
Okay. Okay.
That's amazing. Hey, Joe. Joe, we need to we need to do our station break now.
Right. Ladies and gentlemen, and I don't know what to say, but ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the South Bay Show. You're listening to Pets in the Park. We're talking about this wonderful event coming up on May 6th, this coming Saturday, in Valley Park in Hermosa. If you don't know where that is, it's 2521 Valley Drive. It's going to be fantastic. All the fun begins at 10 a.m., and it's going to be a lot of fun. This is the second annual Pets in the Park, and it's going to be really, really great. There's going to be lots of vendors there. There's going to be food. You can talk with Officer Burgos. I assume you're going to be there.
I will be there.
He will be there, so you can get a direct information from the city about your pet, maybe even get your pet licensed there. And we'd love to have your comment or question. If you're listening live and you have a question or a comment, please give us a call at 714-242-5288. That's 714-242-5288. We'd love to have your comment or question. And now we're back. This is really a fascinating discussion. I guess, Maureen, what we'd like to discuss now is the order of events. What happens at 10?
So at 10, we have several events. We first, you know, we encourage everyone to register beforehand. When you register, it's per family. It's a suggested donation of $10 because this is also a fundraiser for Friends of the Park. And in that $10, you receive a raffle ticket. You receive a goodie bag that's filled with about $60 worth of coupons and items. And then, you know, you have a bag to go with you from table to table to pick up samples from all our sponsors and our vendors. We're really excited to have a television personality, designer and animal lover, Michael Maloney, from HGTV, and Extreme Makeover will be our MC. And he will start the event off with just welcoming everyone at 10 a.m. We'll also have Doga Fit, which is yoga with your dogs, from 10 to 11, and Healthy Spot is sponsoring that. And that will be sort of in the middle of the of Valley Park. So you don't even need to bring a mat. Healthy Spot will have those available for you. Also from 10 to 11, Officer George Brunn and K-9 Keefe will be on hand and do a little demo to show, you know, what they do in the city of Hermosa Beach to keep us safe. And then at 10:45, one of the favorite events is a dog costume parade. There will be prizes. We have some esteemed judges, some of the commissioners from Hermosa Beach, and Alma Tucci will be on hand to judge the costume parade. 11:45, we have a pet trick contest. So there's several different categories. So 11:45 to 12:30. By the amphitheater at Valley. And then from 11 to 1, which is one of the most fabulous events that we have, it's the blessing of the animal. So we have Rabbi Katz and Father Joe, and we have also we have Pastor, we just switched pastors. We have Pastor Sheldell from the Community of Hope will be on hand, and you just come up with your pet, and they give a little blessing, and you leave with a beautiful paper flower. So, and there's no, it's first
that.
Come, first serve. Yeah, it's really lovely.
I love that.
Yeah, we last year we had a gerbil, a snake, and a pet bird included in the blessing. So bring your pet.
Okay.
If, you know, make sure that they're caged if they're, you know, not used to being outdoors in you know, so, but it's a lovely event. It's a feel-good event.
That's right. We always focus on the cats and the dogs, but it's called Pets in the Park. And so, you know, whatever pet you have, you can bring
exactly.
them on down and let them have a day with other species.
This is the first time that I've ever Googled Doga. And the, I mean, oh my God, yoga for your dog is huge.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, it is big, Joe. As a matter of fact, I've received a couple over the years. I've received a couple of press releases about yoga for dogs. And you know, there's a reason it's called Downward Dog. I think dogs have been doing yoga a lot longer than humans have.
Yep.
Right. Right. When you got to stretch, you got to stretch. And
that's right.
No.
Everything. What was that book? Everything I needed to know, I learned from my dog. Something like that.
Huh? Wonderful. We are in the home stretch here on the show, and we just want to start with you, Dr. Jamie. When you think about the issues that you encounter with your clients and their parents, and I love the idea that we're calling them parents, and thank you for that, Officer Burgos. You've adopted the language of pet parents. I don't know. Do you guys – let me ask you real quick, Officer Burgos. Mm-hmm. Do you guys internally refer to them as pet parents, or are they perps?
No, perfect. No, pet parents. That you know, we like again. We like to refer that you know, refer everyone as that. You know, any regardless of what animal you own, dog, cats. I heard gerbils,
yeah.
snakes. You're
yeah.
still a pet parent because it goes back to, you know, you're raising this animal. You've adopted or you know this animal to become part of your family. And so you have to raise this animal and treat the animal like it's your own because it is. So you are, in a sense, a parent to this animal, and that animal is looking to you for home, for food, for loving, for caring. So it's very important that everyone, even out there listening, understand that you're not a dog owner, a cat owner. You're a pet parent.
And,
you know, I love
that.
Go ahead, Joe. I'm sorry.
Exactly. Well, I was just going to say, and of course, you have to raise that pet within the context of the community and the laws that exist, and know what's required, right?
Of course,
officer.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jackie.
And since we're on the topic of perps, I have to ask Officer Burgos. So have you come across in your time? Have you come across like somebody's complaining about an animal noise coming out of somebody's house, and you show up and it's like a tiger or something?
No, I have yet to come across that, and hopefully I don't ever have to.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. Well, okay, because it does happen. It does happen. People do keep illegal pets. Yeah, yeah.
Now that begs the question, Officer Burgos.
Yeah.
What is the most unusual call that you or your colleagues have ever been on since you've been with the department?
Since I've been with the department, let me see. I'm trying to think. We had a loose snake once, a boa constrictor snake roaming free.
Uh-huh.
So that was a little difficult. That's one of those rare calls we usually, if ever, get. But luckily, our officer was able to grab that boa constrictor by the tail and put it in a bag. Yet the owner never came forward. We were able to take that snake down to SPCA.
Okay. Okay.
How big was it?
I don't remember. It was a few feet long. Yeah.
Okay.
Wow.
Enough to freak someone out who doesn't like deal with snakes very often.
Exactly. Definitely.
Okay. Dr. Jamie, when you think about the clients that you deal with, what are some of the top issues that you think people should be aware of that can easily be handled or that are, the most common issues that you deal with?
Yeah, I would say I deal with a lot of different issues. You know, we live in Southern California, so medically we have a lot of allergies and things along those lines. But I would say sort of in relation to pets in the park, probably two of the things that I chat with parents about, and I would also say are controversial, would be vaccination, which is what we're offering at the Pets in the Park event, and then also spay and neuter. Both of those things are extremely important for community health in pets. And what we call, and I think this term is becoming more obvious and used now that humans aren't vaccinating their own children, their human children, I should say, is herd health. And so you read a lot of stuff on the internet, and don't get me wrong, I'm a big fan of Google. I look up things all the time. But there's a lot of things out there that unfortunately aren't research-based. And when it comes to things like vaccinations and spay and neuter and community or herd health, you are going to read a lot of bogus information, things that either are outdated. Vaccines, when they first created, did have a lot of issues. Absolutely. We've come a very long way. Our research has come a very long way. Our medicine has come a very long way. And so a person who's giving a vaccination in 2017 is giving a very different vaccination than they were in 1990, for example.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think one of the really big things that I talk to people about is people who say, I don't want to vaccinate my pet because it's bad for them. It causes cancer. It causes disease. They don't need it. And, you know, there's a lot of arguments that are just, again, bogus arguments that aren't based in research. As a pet advocate, as a person who has dedicated literally my entire adult life to animal health, all of my pets are vaccinated completely. The risk of not vaccinating your pet far outweighs any risk in giving them a shot, which basically comes down to the possibility of an allergic reaction, which you could get from a bee sting or from grasses or from, you know, taking a walk. So I think that that's a big issue and just directly kind of pulls back into Pets in the Park, because we are offering these vaccines with every vaccine given, I will give a sheet of things to watch for, you know, problems. But I think the biggest thing is that it is the right thing to do medically, to vaccinate your pets. And then spay and neuter is the exact same thing. I won't go as in-depth because, obviously, we're not going to be doing surgeries out at the park on Saturday.
That's right.
But, you know, I get a lot of people still, after all these years of us knowing that spay and neuter is actually an extremely important part of a healthy pet, I still have people saying, well, I heard it's not right to do that. Or I want my, you know, dog to have a litter because it's good for them. And the argument that I would tell them time and time again is that we have hundreds of thousands of pages of research that show that medically and for the community and the wellness of all these animals that are being put to sleep every day because they don't have a home, the right thing to do is to spay and neuter our pets.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Wow. Those were good ones. That was what I was looking for from a professional. Those were good ones.
Actually, Joe, Jackie. I was wondering, Dr. Jamie, is the rate of rabies these days? Does it crop up here and there? What's going on with rabies?
Yeah, you know, I'll be very honest. As in my career as a veterinarian, I have never experienced a positive rabies case.
Wow.
I'm very lucky.
Wow.
I'm very lucky to be able to say that. Now, that being said, I don't work with wildlife. I work with companion animals who, because of the very important and wonderful laws that are in place, my patients are always vaccinated, with very, very, very few exceptions of those that slip through the cracks.
That being said,
so I feel very fortunate to be able to say that. And again, it's because of all of the wonderful laws that are in place about vaccination and the safety and how far medically these vaccines have come, that they're now safe to give. They last longer. You know, there's a lot of benefits that we have now. That being said, in wildlife in Southern California, it still exists. Bats are the number one group of animals that carry it, but we've also seen it in raccoons, possums, squirrels. You know, any mammal can get rabies. And because we have such a wonderful temperate climate here and such green, grassy areas, we certainly have quite a lot of wildlife, and they all play their part.
Yeah.
Wildlife, you know, these animals, bats are great. Bats keep the insects down. They keep a balance, but they do carry rabies. And so the thing I would say is just to, again, push, you know, follow the laws. We don't want to over-vaccinate, but we also don't want to forget their prophylactic rabies and other vaccinations. And if you have any, you know, financial concerns, come to the park on Saturday because we're discounting them down all the way to cost. So we'll get that for you at, you know, the absolute minimum. And then if you do need any other vaccines for your cats or your dogs, we're going to have everything there that you could possibly need. And I'm happy to talk to you about your pet and its lifestyle, and we can determine which vaccines are necessary.
Joe, can you tell that Dr. Jamie absolutely loves her job?
I can.
Absolutely.
And I have to say,
absolutely. Yeah, she loves her job.
I've just emailed my daughter that she should move back to Hermosa Beach and work with Dr. Jamie.
I love it.
My daughter
have her come visit me.
She loves animals. And
there's so many questions I have. I know we only have 10 minutes, but Officer Burgos, have you come in contact with any rabies situations in your position?
No, we haven't. Based on LA County, they get, you know, for any dog bite, we send our dog bite reports to the county, and they take over the investigation, and now we'll contact both parties. And when I last spoke to them, they said it's very low, if any, cases actually get up to that, reach that point where rabies precautions need to be taken. Like Dr. Jamie said, based on the laws and the vaccines, these pet parents are actually following the laws to license their pets and getting these vaccines, and it's diminishing the the cases of rabies seen within LA County for sure.
You know, right. Joe, I think I told you this story a few years ago, and this is why it's so important to make sure your cats and your dogs are vaccinated for rabies. Years ago, it was late. It was maybe 11 o'clock at night. I was sitting in my office working on my computer. I had a German Shepherd, and she has a doggy door that goes out to the side yard. And, you know, we keep her food inside, all right? It's the doggy door is off the laundry, and we keep her food in the laundry room. And she was a grazer. She wasn't one of those dogs that you put the food out and she gobbles it all up. She'd take a couple of bites, she'd come back later. So several times there was food in the bowl. So anyway, so she's in the office with me. My husband's in bed, and, you know, her ears go up. She hears something, and she goes running out. I hear her go through the kitchen to the laundry room, and then I hear this yelp, all right, like, you know. And yeah. I go running into the kitchen, and the first thing that hit me was the odor, all right. I thought the house was on fire. And I got the lights on, and there was blood all over the place, all right. There was blood on my dog. There was blood on the walls. And I screamed for my husband, and he came running out, and he's like, the house is on fire. Well, what had happened was a skunk had come in through the doggy door, was eating her food, and Scout ran at it, and fortunately, what we were afraid of, we saw the blood, we thought it was rabies. You know, like if she bit that skunk, and that skunk had rabies, that could have been it. But the odor was beyond anything I've ever experienced. We thought the house was on fire. It smelled like burning rubber. But what you were saying about, you know, you work with companion animals, but a lot of those wild animals out there have rabies, and your dog and your cat can come in contact with them. And, and yeah, I mean, we were like, you know, we always vaccinated our dogs, but that sort of thing happens more often, like outside, obviously, your dog in the park, a squirrel runs by, they might go after it, and the leash comes out of your hand, you know. So it's very important. And by the way, I mean, she had to be outside for the next 3 days. When we took her to the emergency vet in Torrance, my husband had left her in the car and walked in, and the person on call said, do not bring that dog in here. They could smell it on my husband. and so that's how bad it was. So, it's very, 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 very important to vaccinate. Yeah.
Oh, my God. Well, that's quite a story. I hadn't heard that story before, Jackie. That's awesome.
Yeah, we're still not sure. We couldn't find any injuries on Scout, so she must have gotten the skunk. That's where the blood came from, because she didn't have any bites on her. Anyway, that was exciting.
That was exciting. And Maureen, I know you have a rescue retriever, so your dog received all of their vaccinations and so forth before you even got the dog.
That is correct. And she was chipped as well. And part of the agreement in terms of, you know, allowing me to have the dog was making a promise that every year I would renew the chipping license and that we would continue, you know, to be on the program of making sure that, you know, she's up to date with vaccinations and she gets good care. And I mean, my husband and I both work, so our dog actually goes to doggy daycare every day. She doesn't, because, you know, most dogs are social animals. Golden retrievers especially are very social and want to be with people. And so when we got Finley, she was 4, and we realized very quickly within 2 weeks, we're like, oh, we can't leave her at home. We had a, you know, yard and everything. We're like, this is not good. So we did a little bit of vetting and actually, you know, had to go through a rigorous interview process to make sure that she was a good fit at doggy daycare. But she is loved there, and she's been there now for 7 years.
This is, you know, what's fascinating about this, Maureen, is that this has become quite a varied and quite a active and sort of powerful part of our economy. Dog walking, doggy daycare, certainly veterinary hospitals, now conciergemobileanimalhospitals.com. This is quite an environment for an entrepreneur or for someone that just loves animals. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Joe, are you thinking what I'm thinking?
What?
You're going to start this?
Are we going to change the name of the show?
No. I'm thinking RedondoBeachWeddings.com. I'm thinking SouthBayPets.com.
Yes.
Right?
We often talk about how people really identify with the South Bay as a destination, as a home base, but it's actually quite large. If you look at the whole South Bay, don't include Torrance even, you're talking about several hundred thousand people, and so you can come up with an idea for a business and just put South Bay in the front of it, and you got a viable financial entity there. So
there you go. There you go. All right, we got to wrap it up.
Well, in wrapping up, we also have to say, may the 4th be with you.
Be with you. Yes, that's it. Star Wars Day. That's right.
That's right. May the 4th be with each of you, Maureen Ferguson Lewis, whom I shared the first leadership class of Hermosa Beach in 2003. Maureen, it's been so great having you with us. Yeah.
Thank you, Joe.
Yeah.
It's been lovely.
Thank you. Thank you. And Dr. Jamie Sun Siegel, thank you for joining us today.
Oh, thank you, Joe and Jackie, for having me.
It was fabulous. And Officer Carlos Burgos, thank you so much for what you and your organization do, the Department of the Hermosa Beach Police Department. What you do is as important, I mean, with the community services as, of course, what the other officers do to keep us safe and to actually engage with people who are bad to other people. It's nice that you also have a division that helps with pets potentially that are bad to other pets or just a nuisance.
Yeah.
Thank you very much,
Thank
Officer
you.
Burgos, for joining.
Thank you. Thank you, Joe. We appreciate that. Thank you, Jackie. And I hope to see everyone out there this weekend.
Absolutely.
Yes, that is, that's Pets in the Park event.
Yes.
Yeah, Pets in the Park event, Saturday, May 6th. I have that as starting at 9:30. Is that correct, Maureen, or is it more like 10?
Registration, yeah. Registration opens at 9:30. The vendors will probably still be setting up, but if you want to come early, you can register either online on hbfop.org, or you can come in and just sort of scout around. We will have a food truck there starting around 9:15. So there'll be things to do. But the events actually begin at 10.
All right. And it runs to about, what, 2 or 3?
1 o'clock.
1 o'clock. 1 o'clock. All right.
Yeah.
So everybody come down. Everybody come down with your pets. And give us the contact information one more time, phone number, email, website, where people can get more information.
More information would be on hbfop.org. That's the Friends of the Parks website, and you'll see a photo on the homepage that has all the animals on it. Just click on that. It'll take you to the page that has all the information, the any contact information, registration opportunity, the menu of events, what's going on throughout the day. We'll have face painting. We'll have a photographer there that will take your first family photo free. He's a professional photographer. He actually did our Christmas card last year. So lots of free things that, you and your family can enjoy.
All right.
Fantastic.
Take it away, Jill.
Fantastic. And Dr. Jamie, contact information for conciergemobileanimalhospital.com?
Absolutely. You've mentioned our website a couple times. Thank you. Our phone number is 310-818-3294. And you can also email us at conciergemobileah, as in animal hospital, at gmail.com.
Okay. Okay. Fantastic. And we know where to find you, Officer Burgos.
Of course.
911. someone's barking. This dog is barking. I'm sorry. That's a bad joke because I guess people do that. Do not call 911 in that case. Do not.
No.
Just call most of each police, and that's fine. What a great day. What a great conversation. And, of course, thank you, Jackie.
Always a pleasure, Joe.
May the 4th be with you. That's our show. Bye-bye.